is the Go Blue Crew.
Welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. And Derek, before we do anything, let me just publicly, in front of you, the listeners, and God, apologize for not getting last week's episode up in time before it all went to crap and it was totally irrelevant. So I come to you humbly and ask for your forgiveness.
Does that mean it's your turn to edit again? Or
yeah. No, because I didn't even get that far.
Oh, okay.
I had like run out of time in the morning like I normally would, but I was like, oh, well, I'll just do it after work.
Yeah, because it's not, it wasn't supposed to be a big news day on that front. No. Right.
You're like, even some minor portal stuff doesn't derail it.
Yeah.
But no. Instead, Hunter Dickinson goes and puts his name in the transfer portal, blows everything up, and here we are today. Has it been 2 or 3 weeks since our last show was published?
It's hard to tell. Probably 3 weeks. I think it was a 2-week break. You know, I don't want to put any pressure on you, but I'm pretty sure if you pulled a clip, I don't know how you'd want to, like, insert clip here. Wait, hold on. Pull the clip of one of us, I believe, saying that it's not like a Hunter. I don't know if I said, like, it's not like a Hunter Dickinson or something is going to transfer.
I think it was you.
There was a comment. I had used the example of Terrace Reed or Doug McDaniel, how those would be, like, shocking, and how maybe I didn't think like a Hunter Dickinson. If you can find the clip, play the clip here.
Insert brief pause, here.
Brief pause so you can find the little gap in the audio. Thank you. But yeah, you know, we and many were blindsided by Hunter Dickinson's decision to enter the portal. And as of Wednesday dinner hour, the week following, I don't know that we've heard from him at all.
I don't think so. And that's been the weirdest thing, is you would think a high profile entry into the portal like that would come with some kind of announcement, because that's just kind of the way it seems to work. It would start with, I mean, it'd be a graphic. It'd be him in his Michigan jersey, probably like looking real excited or hyped up, yelling or something. And then the three paragraphs in bold white text. And it starts with, first and foremost, I'd like to thank God and my family for this opportunity to play at Michigan. Second paragraph, I've weighed my decisions and I'm doing what's best for me and my family. Third paragraph, I've decided to enter my name into the transfer portal. Doesn't that sound about right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've officially moved on from the I'm using my Apple Notes pad.
Thank God.
I can get a little bit of help from, you know, whatever above average designer is willing to work with me or the athletic department. Yeah. I think you missed the part where he specifically shouts out Coach Howard, his teammates.
And I did staff. Gloss over that.
Probably a pretty big part. The only thing that
I'll be
I
a Michigan
saw,
man forever.
Yeah, forever. Go Blue. See you at the big house still. The only thing that I saw that was interesting is Will Cheddar kind of replying to a tweet of like, if you only knew, and
yeah,
Ian Burns, I think it was, walk on, maybe former walk on, saying, tell him Will or something like that. So it's, and then, you know, you think, well, what was the Illinois dude that Colburn, Kobe Colburn,
who called him. Somebody on air during March Madness called him Cockburn, unironically.
And
somebody
would
be like, it's Coburn.
Dogs.
No, he said Cockburn.
Cockburn. Sounds painful.
And he meant it. Coburn.
The Kobe Colburn entered the portal before he came back. So he came back to Illinois.
Yeah.
That season. And originally I'm like, man, it's just drama. It's Hunter Dickinson. Like, hey, build a team around me or I'm leaving type thing. But then you saw Juwan Howard's statement in the absence of this graphic that we, you know, you laid out beautifully, by the way, except for missing the thanks to Coach Howard part.
Yeah.
And that really felt like the beginning of a solidified closed chapter.
You're right.
The comment of it being bittersweet.
He said the word departure.
He said departure. You know, much bigger than basketball and the stats and accolades, you know. So there will be a life without Hunter Dickinson. I think where I'm at, and this will be an interesting discussion. We've texted a little bit about this behind the scenes, but I'm not that bummed. You know, I do think he obviously was a big part of Michigan's success early. I think a Juwan Howard staple, you know, a big guy that wants to play for a big guy. But with some of the drama, you know, even just like I don't gotta deal with your text where it's like there's Hunter doing Hunter things again. Yeah, which is a joke, by the way.
No, it's true. It's true. And I'll tell, yeah. I mean, I'll let you finish your thought, but so, yeah, I've got some conflicting thoughts too.
Part of me is, you know, maybe it's bittersweet. I guess that's a good way to put it. Like, part of me is like, whatever, he doesn't want to be around. I'm kind of that way with transfers in general. Like, peace, see ya. Go find that the grass is hopefully greener for you on the other side, but it might not be. Go to a contender, which is just a slap in the face to Michigan. But hey, the last 2 years, they weren't a contender. Even 2 years ago, had an up and down season and still made top 16, sweet 16. But yeah, the other part of me is like, he could still have been a really big part of what Juwan Howard still has a chance to build next season. But if anything, you know, my overall thought is Juwan Howard had his guy. He has lost his guy to the transfer portal, like many star players enter. And he has to find a way to not have Jet Howard, Kobe Bufkin, and now Hunter Dickinson next year's squad and field a competitive team. And by the way, reminder to everybody, this year's team was not competitive with those guys. So, yes. Yeah, you know, important. I guess it's time to move on. Why not move on from 60% or whatever it was of your scoring in a lackluster season and just start this thing completely fresh? So hopefully good portal news to come, but that's Michigan basketball, and that's the reality. Hunter Dickinson is, he's gone.
Before I get to Hunter Dickinson specifically, I had a thought that what happened to Michigan here is supposed to happen to the mid-majors. You're supposed to lose your best player to the transfer portal to go up and play big time college basketball. And it's hard to talk about this without Dickinson, you know, saying something definitive about, you know, here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm looking for. But it seems reasonable if he would come out and say, this is so I can find a competitive team, compete for a national title. I think that would make perfect sense from his position based on where Michigan is. And if that's the case, it's very weird that that's happening to Michigan. That's supposed to happen to Central Michigan. You know, that's supposed to happen to a MAC school. It's not supposed to happen to you at Michigan. The part about Dickinson specifically, though, and the reason I have conflicting feelings is because, and this gets back to something that wasn't even published because I didn't get to it in time, but I had talked about how I thought the season low this past season was when they went to Wisconsin and Hunter Dickinson walks in pregame with a ski mask on because they're about to steal a victory. And Michigan, through Hunter Dickinson, tried to really lean into this villain thing that I don't think ever fully worked or was there, and especially on a team like what they just put out there that ended up being not even really on the bubble at the end of the season. That kind of stuff just didn't work for me. I didn't get it. It didn't fit. And then there was some of the stuff on the court. I think it was against Michigan State, probably, you know, technically like two seasons ago. He dunks, throws a leg out, and he kicks a guy. And it wasn't called, I don't think, but I think we had both seen it and pointed it out and like, whoa, you know, he's got to watch that. And that kind of stuff definitely happened. I mean, I don't know what you want to chalk it up to. I'm not ready to call him like a cheap, dirty player by any means, but I think he had those moments where something would just rear its ugly head and he would do something. You're like, gosh, you know, that was not the move. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you kind of alluded to where No, I'm not going to really miss that. The obvious thing that you will miss is, like you said, this was going to be probably Michigan's best player next season. Now they don't have that. Now they're losing their top three scorers. And so my other thoughts that I have just been flooding my brain are Terrace Reed Jr. has to really step up because he is now the guy down there in the post. And for as much as he showed in his first season, you obviously see where he needs to improve still to be a more consistent guy if he's going to be a starter. And then Michigan needs like that rock, whoever it is. You're losing two of them basically with Hunter Dickinson and Kobe Bufkin. Who's going to become like the face of this team? You know, the one we all think about when it comes to Michigan basketball remains to be seen. I think Doug McDaniel has a, you know, he very well may end up being that guy, but we'll see. So it's just a lot of conflicting feelings. I'm in your camp of like, if you know you want to transfer, great, go find what you're looking for. It happens to everybody, every team. I mean, this sort of thing does. So best of luck to you. Go find it. But those are all my feelings. I know I feel like I just did a little bit of a, what do the kids call it now? A trauma dump. I may have just done a trauma dump on you, but that's everything rolling through my head.
I think of, and I hate to compare a John Beilein team to a Juwan Howard team because they're very different, but I think Juwan Howard's learning a lot really early. He's tried the guard, or the grad transfer point guard.
Yeah.
Jalen Llewellyn.
That's an understatement to say he tried it, yeah.
Gets injured. I think you're learning too. Like, I think Juwan Howard has always wanted to bring his NBA expertise and experience to the college game. I think that he was on a college team, especially his first 2 years, where he and the Fab Five were NBA players playing the college game. I think where Hunter Dickinson's going to get his is because the game goes through Hunter Dickinson. Hunter Dickinson could very well be one of the first examples of he's going to get his every night, not only because he's a good player and deserves the rock, but you're going to get the rock to Hunter Dickinson. He's making a ton of money with NIL deals. He's on, you know, a Barstool podcast. And then you bring in Jet Howard, who ends
up. That's another thing I won't miss, by the way.
Jet Howard comes in playing one, you know, solo ball, isolation. So this team lived and died by those two players. And when Jet Howard was injured, or Jet Howard, you know, his play style wasn't going well, or he wasn't playing well, Hunter Dickinson was never going to single-handedly beat a team. The only time I can think of him really turning it on is in that, probably that same game against Michigan State, where he scores like 33 or whatever it was. And it's not like he didn't have big games and big moments that helped Michigan in general, but that's kind of where I'm at, is Juwan Howard is not going to have his star. He may not have his, you know, he's not going to have his, you know, former freshman son. He's likely not going to have that freshman that's going to come in and put up, you know, 15, 20 shots a game. I think back to the 2018 team, I don't know that it was a surprise that Michigan was good enough to make a Final Four, but they were a buzzer beater missed away from, you know, being eliminated early. That team had, you know, freshmen in Isaiah Livers and Jordan Poole. They had a transfer in Charles Matthews. They had a young Xavier Simpson. They had a grad transfer guard and Dron Simmons. And then they had Marr, you know, who was a senior and really turned it on at the guard level. And then obviously you have Mo Wagner. So Mo Wagner, you could say, was your star that year. When I look at that team, though, as much as you could identify Mo and end up being Abdur Rahman as kind of your go-tos at the end of the year, like, the best teams have great teams. They play great team ball. They share the rock. They're passing the ball around. You know, Hurley said about UConn, it's easy to do his job when he's got three NBA guys. You obviously talent, NBA talent will take you a long way, but at the same time, you look at a Kentucky and the inconsistencies they've had with all the NBA talent, the Dukes and the inconsistencies they've had. A good team now with NIL and the portal, know, has to find a way to essentially get a bunch of brand new pieces together to play really good basketball. So if a Llewellyn and a Joey Baker can come back and play again, I think that's helpful. And I don't think it'd be hard for Michigan to have a better team without Hunter Dickinson. Is he going to, are you going to have your guy in a Terrace Reed that puts up the Hunter Dickinson numbers? Maybe not, but you don't know what he could do to develop his game. I think of a John Teske, you know, who was behind Mo Wagner and, you know, was putting in some solid minutes at first and then ended up being really reliable. Terrace Reed has a huge future ahead of him, assuming, you know, last time we had this podcast, we're like, no one's going to transfer.
Say it.
Assuming that guys that can come back at this point do, guys that transfer in, like this Alabama guard, like Michigan has a chance to have a solid team. And I think Juwan Howard, coaching staff, whoever stays, they've got to find a way to do things differently. Again, you don't have your freshman that's going to put up a bunch of buckets. You don't have your All-American center. And so maybe a different style of basketball is to come. And I think we texted about this, that back to the basket basketball is not what some of the best teams have. The bigs that were on these late teams are kind of built more like Terrace Reed. They're going to block your shots consistently. They're athletic as ever. Like, I'm really excited about the future of Michigan and the development of positions. The Doug McDaniel turning into what a Trey Burke was a sophomore year, or a Xavier Simpson, a Derek Walton Jr. Like, guards that you could tell were going to be impactful as the season went on. And then are just too good to leave off the floor. If anyone benefited from this year, it's going to be a guy like Doug McDaniel. If he can continue to develop, become a shot creator and a passer at the point guard level, like, they're in good hands. Michigan's best teams have had great point guards. Doug McDaniel, with a little bit of help in the backcourt, could be a great point guard. And I think the rest of the pieces will fall in place. So at the end of the day, like I said to start this, I'm not terribly disappointed. It kind of felt like it was time for Hunter Dickinson to go. Just not how I expected him to go. I was expecting more of a jump to the NBA. That's still a possibility. It's going to be weird if he goes to like a North Carolina or a Kentucky or a Georgetown, you know, many of the places people are speculating. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. He's gone. Time to move on and find your new favorite Michigan player, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get to spring game stuff to wrap up, I have an interesting, or what I think is an interesting question for you, something to ponder. Next season, when, unless Michigan turns it around somehow, who is this team missing more, Hunter Dickinson or Kobe Bufkin?
I'd say Kobe Bufkin, probably.
I don't think that's a bad answer.
I really do think with some help in the portal, hopefully, and again, assuming Terrace Reed comes back, like, if he can clean up some of the weak parts of his game, you know, lack of hands sometimes, foul trouble, like, he's got a chance to be a really, really good player. If you could get some sort of experienced big man, or at least a power forward, and I know that they're going after, you have a chance to really have a good team. But I think that 2 through 4 has been such a question mark lately. That's why Juwan Howard plays multiple bigs at the same time. Kobe Bufkin really turned into, a first round draft pick. He was playing such solid basketball as the year went on, especially after getting the very few minutes that he got in year one. You can only hope that there's a guy, you know, in a similar role that can, you know, bring that kind of game to you in their sophomore season. But yeah, Kobe Bufkin, I think, will be the most missed because of how excellent he played as the season went on. Whereas Hunter Dickinson, again, you kind of expected him to get his. You knew what you were getting almost every given night. Kobe Bufkin was not a surprise. I think a lot of people expected him to do well in a bigger role, but a very welcomed addition with the way he was playing late in the season.
All right, so moving on to the spring game here, much better news to talk about. First of all, how was it? You were there, weren't you?
windy, like windy to the point where it was cold. Luckily, we had access to the kind of the club side, so we just kind of hung out inside, watched it through the glass. Didn't expect JJ to throw a pick first drive. Made people a little uncomfortable. But, you know, he's more out there having fun. Again, stars making an appearance. And I think overall, you know, I think enough to kind of whet your appetite and get excited about. I think they've got some, you know, some good people coming back, obviously, some stars, a good supporting cast, and, you know, plenty of newbies that people are going to be excited about. I think Ernest Hausman, specifically the transfer from Nebraska, I think he led all tacklers. That's a guy, when I was watching, that really just looked like he could have a major role. And you got to keep in mind, you know, he's playing behind a couple of veterans, and Mike Barrett and Nikhil Green. So if he can come in and provide a spark, I really liked his attitude too, of like, you know, wanting to be on a winning team. Again, without dissing Nebraska, right? Kind of the same thing Hunter Dickinson is probably going to say.
Yeah.
But very similar, I think, going from a, you know, a Nebraska team that's been up and down, had a lot of new opportunities coming with a new coach. And he said, hey, I'm going to go contribute where defenses play really well consistently. So I'd say most excited about him. And then maybe Peyton O'Leary. You know, you've always heard about him as a practice guy. He was really tearing up Marion Walker, who's trying to make the transition to DB. So not a great look on his part, you know, still learning the game on the defensive side. But hey, Peyton O'Leary in a wide receiver core that's, you know, got a lot of experience, but then also a lot of question marks. You know, it'd be awesome to have another guy who can get open and make a name for himself. So yeah, probably the two that I'm most excited about.
The takeaway for me was that it was exciting. 22-21, you know, you get a 2-point conversion there toward the end to win it. I thought it was like fun to watch, and you can't always say that about spring games. Even if you're the biggest fan, you tune in and occasionally you're like, okay, how much longer we got here? Cause it's, you know, it can just be a glorified practice sometimes, but this looked like a real game. It felt like a real game for the most part, and I thought that was cool. But you mentioned Peyton O'Leary, man, and I guess the big question here, like, are we talking Heisman?
Oh man, that nothing. The only thing better than the September Heisman is the April Heisman, right?
He is Peyton O'Leary is your April Heisman front runner.
I mean, he's against a guy who's a potential projected starter at the cornerback position, he really looked like the you know, the go-to guy. He had over 100 yards, plenty of receptions, basically was boxing out the defender to catch the ball multiple times.
That was great.
But hey, you know, he is a walk-on turned scholarship player, so again, I think if you find a way to fit in, you have Roman Wilson, who's a burner. You got AJ Henning, who's, you know, also somewhat of a burner. And then you've got a Cornelius Johnson, who I think obviously, you know, the impact he had, especially late in the season in that Ohio State game. So with Walker moving to the other end of the ball, you know, Peyton O'Leary is one of your taller, bigger wide receivers. And so I think you can definitely find a place for him in this offense. But yeah, you know, I think anytime someone shows out, it's fun in the spring game. And like you said, yeah, huge takeaway, obviously, the excitement. One of the things that you can really see in person is just how, you know, Maize versus Blue, how excited every guy on the respective sideline was, like after a turnover, after a touchdown. Like, it was really competitive. A lot of, you know, and it's a very quiet stadium in comparison. You know, it's only a quarter full of that. So you can hear people yelling and people talking on the field. Like, it's a very different environment. And it was definitely a Maize versus Blue trash talk. Like, it was a great competitive environment. And I think really just a great sign, and really just a great example of where things are. I think guys out there having fun, but guys also out there competing to make the roster, to rise up the depth chart. So overall about as good of a spring scrimmage as you could have hoped for. Glad I went, but yeah, that wind, 40 mile per hour gusts, that was brutal.
Dang. Hey, I gotta say, Jake Butt and Devin Gardner were really good on the broadcast. It was a fun broadcast.
So
I'm glad I tuned
in.
Up in
the club, they had the sound on, but you could see, like, you know, they're playing the Big Ten telecast. Who was doing the play-by-play? Those guys are both color commentators.
Yeah, so that was my first thought. Jake Butt, mostly, but it really wasn't a play-by-play thing.
It's just more of just commentating, like,
in general. I mean, they were just having fun,
right,
breaking down the game in a... What I appreciated, I mean, they were talking about football in a detailed but accessible way. It didn't become like, what the heck are they even saying? But for the little bit of play-by-play that there might have been, it was Jake Butt. So I don't know if that's in his future, but both were definitely doing a really good job on the broadcast.
I think I think both of them have definitely a future broadcasting. I was really impressed with, I think last year was Jake Butt's first year.
I think so.
You know, if he could learn the play-by-play side too, you know, that is a hard thing to do. I think commentating in general, I did a little bit of very minimal, like, high school football, high school basketball as a color commentator. It's not easy. Play-by-play is a lot more intimidating. So good on him for taking that on. And yeah, when I saw both those guys, I was like, those were both color commentators. I wonder how that sounds. So I'll have to go back, and I haven't yet watched the, you know, this is where it's very different than a regular game. I think you and I both probably go back and watch highlights and stuff after a real game. I have not yet to do that. Had a busy week, had family over that weekend. So, yeah, I should go do that, though, because obviously I'd be able to hear them talking throughout the highlights.
Yeah. Another thing that stood out to me is it's definitely going to be a battle for that backup quarterback spot. Jack Tuttle, Davis Warren, both had good highs and low lows. I didn't walk away from it just based on, you know, one scrimmage, feeling like either was definitely above the other, and that's obviously not taking into account the rest of spring practice. So coaching staff is totally possible at this point, kind of has a feeling who that number two guy is. But based on just what we saw Saturday, I didn't get a feel for it. I was impressed with Jack Tuttle's physicality, his willingness and ability to run. I thought that was good. Davis Warren, of course, had a highlight-filled spring game last year, and it wasn't really that way this season, but he just looks like a pretty solid quarterback. So I want to know, just for my own sanity's sake, kind of if something were to happen to J.J. McCarthy and Michigan needs a guy out there late in the third quarter, you know, either trying to hold on to a lead or maybe you're down 3-7, whatever, like, who are you depending on? Based on a scrimmage, I don't know if there's a clear answer to that.
No, I don't think so at all. You know, I thought Jack Tuttle really relied on his legs to the point where I didn't even realize that he had that in his bag at all. Davis Warren, I think exact opposite. You know, I think he really wants to get in there and sling it around. And I think that you have, you know, a Jack Tuttle who can maybe replace some of the running and scrambling that J.J. McCarthy can do, and a Davis Warren that might be able to replace some of the arm talent that J.J. has. I think I'm most intrigued, though, by Alex Orji. I think he definitely is very unique. You see him more as a run first guy, but I think one of the best throws of the day is he hit I don't even know who it was. I think another freshman that, you know, maybe people get to know, for like a deep strike, like 40-50 yards.
Just
threw an absolute dime, and that's one of them I saw in person, and the TVs were inside and definitely delayed, so I kind of turned and looked and got to see it like at the TV view, and just a great throw. He threw a touchdown as well. He carried the ball. He lowered his shoulder, not afraid to take contact. I think a guy that Michigan probably finds a role for. And you know, I'd say he probably has the higher ceiling. Like if he's getting some of those throws down, maybe a guy that can develop through the summer, develop through fall camp, develop through the year, because even with a Jaden Davis coming, you know, the positive news of last week, JJ McCarthy could easily turn pro. Jaden Davis could easily be the best quarterback on the roster if JJ McCarthy does so, but you've got to look at one of these guys. I mean, can Jack Tuttle come back? I'm not even sure what his full status is.
For an eighth year?
Yeah, right? I don't think so.
It's actually eight.
So you've got Davis Warren, Alex Orji, and then a couple of guys who, you know, I don't even think saw the field. Like Jaden Dengel or whatever his name is, another quarterback in last year's class. It's a little bit, you get excited because you have a Jaden Davis commit. Now, he's not signed a national letter of intent. He's not enrolled on campus. You never know what can happen. And so it makes you a little nervous to think of a life beyond J.J. McCarthy, and even more nervous this season of a life with an injured J.J. McCarthy. It makes you wonder if we were too hard on Cade McNamara.
Oh, gosh.
He's going to transfer either way once he wasn't the starter. But still, it's like, to answer your question, after the scrimmage, I don't feel good about any of them. That's no disrespect to any of their games. So I'm going to go with the project to bring something completely different in Alex Orji for my answer.
Interesting. Okay. Last thing here. We crossed the 31-minute mark. Really quick. The winner, as we thought last week, did get steaks. Loser got hot dogs. Here's a hot take. Give me a grilled hot dog over the steak.
So I'm pretty sure the steak is a dinner.
I don't care.
And the hot dogs are grilled. So
give me the grilled hot dog. Put a nice char on it. Give me the grilled hot dog.
I would say something mean, but I won't.
Okay.
As I say, I'd associate you more with that crowd anyway. Like the losers crowd.
Oh, okay. I thought you were the hot dog crowd. I didn't know if that was a thing I was unfamiliar with. Okay.
No. There is a hot dog.
All right, yeah, I'm just throwing it out there.
I'm going for the steaks, but I will say on a summer day, today being basically a summer day weather-wise or temperature-wise in a tornado-filled day, starting to crave that grilled hot dog. So there is a time.
Me too.
In a place, but I will never pick it over steak.
Okay. I'm just putting it out there. I didn't think it'd be popular, but that's my truth.
Hot take.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, Derek, I promise I will get this one up, okay?
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
And then we'll catch you next week. Until then, everybody, take care out there. Hopefully nobody else goes into the portal, and go blue.
Go blue.